drops the ball.
Pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are on their way to the Super Bowl.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode here of Locked On Saints, brought to you by Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts that your car will ever need. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at canalstreetchronicles.com, and your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. Hope that everybody is having a good day so far. We had a pretty quick episode today, busy couple of days heading into the weekend for me, but we're going to kick things off with the ESPN positional top 10 list at quarterback, running back, and tight end, which have been released so far this week. Which Saints make the list and where? Then we'll press on with our Saints 90-man roster preview with safeties. How might that position play out by the time that we get to roster cuts? And finally, we'll wrap up with our Throwback Thursday segment. I watched every target of Emmanuel Sanders' 2014 season with Peyton Manning, why I did it, and why it was very exciting. All in our final segment today. We got all that and a little bit of lanyard for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. ESPN is in the process of releasing their positional top 10 lists, and on each list, quarterback, running back, and tight end that have been released so far, one New Orleans Saint finds their way. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. We all know that top 10 lists are a really quick way to gather some traction online, and, well, ESPN has joined into the fray, but very different from CBS Sports HQ's list, which was put together by individual staffers. ESPN took to the NFL and polled over 50 different executives, coaches, scouts, and players to figure out the top 10 players at each position. We'll start off with the quarterback list to kick us off today. New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees finds himself at number 5 on this list. So still a top 5 quarterback despite being 41 years of age. He received his highest vote at 2nd place and lowest vote at 11th place. The big criticism, of course, remaining and factoring around his ability or inability to throw the ball deep downfield, noting the multiple times that Taysom Hill was brought in those situations to throw the deep pass that Drew Brees just doesn't have the arm strength to hit any longer. However, his career high 116.3 passer rating and completing over 70% of his passes seemingly automatically certainly help him stay here in the top five conversation. For those curious, he found himself ranked behind Patrick Mahomes at number 1, Russell Wilson at 2, Aaron Rodgers at 3, and Deshaun Watson at 4, with Tom Brady falling 2 spots behind Brees at number 7 of 10. Now let's jump over to running back, where, if you'll remember, the CBS Sports HQ list did not include Alvin Kamara in their top 10 running back list. And this is the big difference between asking and polling folks within the NFL, players, coaches, executives, staff members, as opposed to just having one staffer put it together. Alvin Kamara finds his way onto the top 10 list here on ESPN at running back number 4, behind Saquon Barkley at number 1, Christian McCaffrey at number 2, and Ezekiel Elliott at number 3. Alvin Kamara's highest vote came at number 2, a lot of people apparently ranking him above Christian McCaffrey, with his lowest vote coming at spot number 9. So it seemed that no matter what, he was going to find his way into the top 10 here. Voters crediting his contact balance, versatility, and quickness, as well as citing his 3.01 yards per carry before contact, which is a big part of Alvin Kamara's game and certainly has a lot to do with that quickness and contact balance, without a doubt. They also mentioned that he did have a down 2019 with injury, but there is an expectation that Alvin Kamara will be back to the level of play that we've seen from him over the past couple of years, including the 2018 season where he racked up 18 total touchdowns as opposed to just 6 in 2019. So the expectations are high for him bouncing back here in 2020. And finally, jumping over to the tight end list, Jared Cook did find his way onto the CBS Sports HQ top 10 list. He finds his way here as well on ESPN ranking at number 10. So right at the bottom, just making the cut here, with his highest vote ranking him 5th and his lowest vote ranking him 13th. So he did receive some top 5 nods here throughout this poll. Pollers reference his downfield threat ability as well as his humongous catch radius. He was 1st in yards per catch and 2nd in touchdowns amongst tight ends during the 2019 season. 537 yards and 7 touchdowns just over his final 8 games of the year. And since 2017, he's 3rd amongst tight ends for 15 plus yard catches with 64. So even though Drew Brees may not be getting the ball downfield as much, he still has weapons that will make sure that it happens for him. Jared Cook, somebody that not only Drew Brees can target down the seam plus 15 yards down the field, he's also got some catch and run ability as well. So he may be going into 34 years of age. He's still referenced here as a significant threat downfield. So three New Orleans Saints reference, one on each of these three lists at quarterback, running back, and tight end. And you can expect that they'll rack up some more mentions here with wide receivers set to premiere tomorrow and offensive tackle on Saturday. Just looking at the positions that they continue, that they're going to continue to list going into next week, interior offensive linemen, edge defenders, interior defensive linemen, off-ball linebackers, cornerbacks, and safeties. I could see Saints players' names popping up on several of those lists. So we'll continue to keep you up to date with how those go here on Locked On Saints. Coming up next, though, we're going to actually jump to safeties. Getting back on the ball here for our 90-man roster preview. Which safeties are going to end up shoring up that depth behind Malcolm Jenkins, Marcus Williams, and of course, CJ Gardner-Johnson. We got that coming up for you next year on Locked On Saints, your team every day. But before we jump on to that, let me first let you know that today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Y'all know how much I love Rock Auto. I love the fact that I get to talk about it here on the show and then I get to direct people to it because it's fantastic. I also just realized that you can actually go through and figure out item numbers for each. I sound like such an idiot, but this is it. This is part of the learning responsibility that I think that I have in terms of being able to maintain and take care of my truck, my vehicles here. I'm learning a lot. And I found out that, you know, each piece has an item number. So if I'm having trouble figuring out how to describe something, I find the item number from the mechanic, plug it into rockauto.com, bam, I can order it, have it shipped here directly, and I can get everything taken care of much easier. So I'm loving the way that Rock Auto works out and how it gets easier and easier every time that I go and check it out. So go and check it out for yourself. If you like to work on cars, if you have some improvements you need to make, some important repairs you need to make, anything that you want to do, they have you covered over at rockauto.com. Don't forget to write in Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us section so that they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts that your vehicle will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Houdat Nation, continuing on with today's episode, continuing with our 90-man roster preview. See how that works out? So we're jumping over to safeties here because I think corner is a much larger conversation. I don't want to do that on a short episode. I want to really be able to go in on that as we usually would with our normal time. So I'm going to jump to safeties here, which is a little bit of a shorter conversation because you already know, essentially, your top four guys and you have three guys that sit behind there. In my mind, the top four guys, top three most for certain, Marcus Williams, Malcolm Jenkins, CJ Gardner-Johnson. I've told you why Marcus Williams is top five safety in the NFL in terms of deep safety, right? In terms of deep safety, in terms of covered safety, fight me if you want to. Malcolm Jenkins, we know, look, they paid a lot of money for him to come in here. They paid him a little bit more than they were offering to pay Von Bell. Von Bell didn't get back to him in time. They moved on. They brought in Malcolm Jenkins. Everything's great there. It's going to be a fantastic leader for the secondary. Finally, some veteran presence for the secondary, which I think is going to be very, very important as well. And then, of course, the young guy, CJ Gardner-Johnson, who I think is going to grow to be in the NFL exactly, if not better than what Malcolm or has the potential to be what Malcolm Jenkins is, or potentially better because of his coverage ability, in addition to his just ferocity and ability to play within the box, as well as a nickel corner. And then to me, the fourth, maybe most locked spot right now when it comes to safety, to me, goes to JT Gray because of his work on special teams. I think that, look, the guy was a first team all pro last year. You don't ignore that. He certainly has some places where he'll continue to get better. We heard Darren Rizzi talk about that a couple weeks ago. JT Gray, to me, I think is pretty much a lock when it comes to safety, or as much a lock as the fourth safety spot can be. Behind them, you've got three more safeties sitting on this roster. You've got Saquon Hampton, who the Saints drafted just a couple of years ago out of Rutgers, who is a deep safety. He has some of that coverage ability, that ball hawk ability, but also can play in the box. Very nice hybrid. Not as talented as CJ Gardner-Johnson at this point, dealing with some injuries, but a fantastic special teamer, can find his way onto this roster, I believe. DJ Swearinger, another veteran the Saints picked up last year toward the end of the season in December, brought him in. He got some playing time for the Saints at the end of the year, particularly in the matchup against the Carolina Panthers in week 17. All the injuries that were going on in the secondary, as well as it being a final game when the Saints already had their seating locked for the playoffs, he ended up being able to get some reps. He's another guy that is, you know, a veteran presence and that can be beneficial for the secondary, but isn't going to produce the same way out on the field when it comes to Marcus Williams, Malcolm Jenkins, CJ Gardner-Johnson on defense, and then JT Gray and Saquon Hampton when it comes to special teams. CJ Swearinger notoriously does not like to play special teams, although he has done it, did do it for Darren Rizzi and the Saints last year, so he could be shifting over
there a bit, and that would definitely help him out. It would benefit him to be multiple, as we always say. And then the final name that you're going to hear on the Saints safety list is a safety out of North Alabama. He's coming in, going into his second year now, Chris Johnson. He came into the league as an undrafted free agent, 6'3", 200 pounds, ran in his regional combine, which is basically a pro day. So we know that those numbers are kind of sus every now and then, but a 4.42 in terms of his speed. He racked up 6 interceptions in 2017 during his time when they were still playing in Division II competition, the North Alabama, North Alabama Lions. They ended up moving to Division I in 2018, still put up around 47 tackles, racked up 2 interceptions and a couple of tackles for a loss as well. So you saw him still sort of produce at that next level. He ended up coming into the league by signing with the Houston Texans as an undrafted free agent, ended up, I believe, ending up with the Jets for a little bit, and then now is with New Orleans. He was actually signed in the same workout as DJ Swearinger last year in December, the difference being that DJ Swearinger was brought in as a, you know, was signed to the active roster, the 53-man roster, while Chris Johnson was signed to the practice squad and thus was given a reserve futures contract, hence why he's on this roster right now going into 2020. So for me, what Chris Johnson provides you, especially with that athleticism and that takeaway ability, a viable option for the practice squad in case you need to have somebody stashed away, and especially if they expand the practice squad to 16 players, if you need to protect against injuries in the secondary, Chris Johnson could be a very good candidate because he would be practice squad eligible. You could put him there. DJ Swearinger, on the other hand, not practice squad eligible, but you could wait and see if he stays on the market and expect to revisit him if that's the case, or he just ends up earning his way onto the roster. Perhaps it's more important to the Saints to have another veteran safety in terms of their depth as opposed to another special teamer like, let's say, Saquon Hampton. So it's going to be a little bit of a fight for the fifth spot. We know the Saints usually keep 4 or 5 safeties. If they keep 5 safeties, a little bit more of a fight for that fifth spot amongst Saquon Hampton, DJ Swearinger, and even potentially Chris Johnson, although I think Chris Johnson is a very effective practice squad player to have stashed away. But you know your starters here. Marcus Williams, Malcolm Jenkins taking care of everything in terms of the safety position. CJ Gardner-Johnson, even though I'm referencing him as a safety in this segment because the Saints have him listed as a safety on their roster. But you know he's going to play nickel corner. That's where we were told to expect to see him by Aaron Glenn. That's sort of where you're going to expect. Dennis Allen even mentioned it as well. So you know he's going to be on the field as well. Marcus Williams, Malcolm Jenkins, CJ Gardner-Johnson, those guys on the field for you on defense. JT Gray, fantastic special teamer. Again, all pro guy. You're going to see him get better over time as well. So that's the safety breakdown. It's pretty simple. It's pretty cut and dry. It'll just be if the Saints keep a fifth, who is it? Saquon Hampton, DJ Swearinger, or potentially Chris Johnson. We'll see also where the rest of these DBs fit in once we get to corners, which is a much longer conversation and a longer list of potential players there. Coming up next, we'll jump into our Throwback Thursday segment, talk a little bit about Emmanuel Sanders, his 2014 with Peyton Manning, and how it really gives us a better idea of what the Saints will be able to do with him than 2019's production with old Jimmy Garoppolo. Got that coming up for you next year on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, time to wrap up today's episode. We wanted to take a look at our Throwback Thursday segment. Now, typically for this segment, I'm going back in time and taking a look at the New Orleans Saints. We've done a lot of comparing the 2011 Saints to these 2020 Saints. It's a hot topic right now. And it's also something that's pretty viable, right? It makes sense to talk about. But instead, today, I wanted to go back and take a look at an individual player. I've been talking a lot about Emmanuel Sanders this week. It kind of happens, like when you're doing a bunch of research on one guy because you're writing an article, you have a lot to talk about. So I don't want to leave anybody in the dark in terms of what my research is. So as I'm progressing through it, I've been sharing it here on the show before the pieces come out over at Canal Street Chronicles. One of the perks to listening here at Locked On Saints, and I appreciate y'all for doing it. When it comes down to Emmanuel Sanders, what we've heard a lot, whether it be from Ronald Curry, whether it be from Curtis Johnson, whether it be from Pete Carmichael, any of these guys, the offensive coordinators, the wide receiver coaches, The big thing that continues to pop up is that Emmanuel Sanders' production in 2019 doesn't necessarily lend itself or lend any information as to how the Saints plan to use him in 2020 as a new addition to the New Orleans Saints. A lot of guys often talking about, we're really looking back to tape with him working with Peyton Manning. And that's a big identifier for you immediately, or at least it should be immediately, for what it is that the Saints want to do with Emmanuel Sanders, because they understand the caliber of quarterback that they have, the type of schemes that they're going to be able to run, the type of timing they're going to be able to rely upon. And that word is the most important, well, let me not say the most important, but it's certainly one of the most important parts to the way that Emmanuel Sanders is going to fit so comfortably into this 2020 New Orleans Saints defense. And you can see that by looking back at those older games. Now, one of the big things that will continue to come up is that you have to imagine and you have to understand that Emmanuel Sanders in 2014, obviously 6 years younger than Emmanuel Sanders here in 2020. So the athleticism looks a little bit different. The speed looks a little bit different. The cuts look a little bit different. All those things have kind of changed. Really not even so much the cuts. I mean, his transition in and out of routes or out of the break or out at the top of routes has been impeccable his entire career, and he's only gotten better there. But there are certain levels of his athleticism and his play that do differ now than they did 6 years ago or six seasons ago. So that is worth keeping in mind. But when you look at the timing portion of the Peyton Manning offense with the Denver Broncos, that is, again, one of the most important parts when it comes to what the Saints have the ability to do with Emmanuel Sanders here in 2020. There were a lot of different options here that I could pick from in terms of routes to specify and where he produced the most, his production underneath, his production deep, his production in the intermediate area. Those are all things. But I'm going to pick two specific routes here to talk about and talk a little bit about how they fit into the Saints offense. First of all, if you think back to some of the times where the Saints can be the most productive, it's attacking over the middle of the field. That really comes down to any NFL team. NFL quarterbacks love to attack the middle of the field, whether it's deep, whether it's intermediate, whether it's short. That's where it's most comfortable. It's directly in front of them. The offensive line is able to create a window. You move some linebackers around with your eyes or with play action, which the Saints should use more, by the way. They should commit to more play action. But anyway, you got to get the run game going before you can do that, I guess. So quarterbacks are very comfortable. NFL teams very comfortable going over the middle. Emmanuel Sanders working over the middle is just a thing of beauty, and particularly crossing routes. So when I talk about crossing routes, I'm not necessarily talking about slants. I'm not talking about quick passes. I'm talking about things that do take a little bit longer to develop, but you can look at that with the Saints because that offensive line can hold the block for 2.5 seconds before Drew Brees needs to get the ball out. But if you're talking about something that's a little bit more of a three-step drop out of shotgun, we'll get to that in a moment. But if you're looking at a five-step drop from under center or a seven-step drop from under center, what is the route that you can really look at and see from Emmanuel Sanders? That over route, that crossing route that takes him. And the difference between an over route versus an in is usually a direct cut toward the inside. An over route is more like a long curved pattern. For Madden players, that might sound like a drag, but we're talking about, and not a drag as in boring, a drag as in a drag route. Think about the drag route going underneath the linebackers. Think about an over route or a crossing route going above the linebackers, going a little bit deeper down the field. Emmanuel Sanders, because of his foot quickness, his hand fighting off the line of scrimmage, his ability to be physical and fight through press coverage, and his understanding and ability to utilize his defenders, let's say momentum and balance against them, sort of getting their hips facing one way before he makes a break another way, just allows him to create so much separation in these routes, which are timing routes, because Drew Brees is going to have a window of opportunity that closes quickly when you're trying to get just above or just beyond the linebackers. So that has to be timed out well. That's one example. Another one, in terms of a quick pass that can get you a first down and that can get you down the field. Saints fans very familiar with this. And no, I'm not talking about the slant, I'm talking about the out route. The out route that, or even the comeback route, anything that's breaking toward the outside off of that, either I would say either the Z stem in terms of a flanker roll opposite Michael Thomas, or even up the seam. Those are going to be fantastic for Emmanuel Sanders and Drew Brees. And there are lots of options and lots of examples of Emmanuel Sanders, particularly taking a 13-yard out route off of a three-step drop from Peyton Manning, to where Peyton Manning can literally just take three steps back, get his hitch step in, and then gun the ball before Emmanuel Sanders makes his break out of the route, and Emmanuel Sanders is right there. That's exactly the same type of timing, communication, and trust that Drew Brees is going to look for in a player, and what they're probably already working on when it comes down to what we've seen with Drew Brees being in Denver and throwing some passes to him, getting that timing down, getting that communication down. What does Emmanuel Sanders look like when he's going in and out of breaks? All that is information that Drew Brees is going to utilize, not just in terms of understanding what his wide receiver is going to do on the field, but in terms of understanding what does it look like right before Emmanuel Sanders goes into either from his stem or goes into his break. That way he knows where and when to put the ball immediately without having to see him actually get open, just knowing he's going to be right there. So I'm putting the ball right there. That was something that watching the 2014 tape of Emmanuel Sanders, which I'm going to continue to do. And of course, I'll go deeper on this over at CanalStreetChronicles.com with number of routes run, targets, catches per route, things like that, and compare that to Ted Ginn Jr.'s kind of miserly 2019, but still we'll look at it. But when you watch it, one of the things that gets me really, really excited is Emmanuel Sanders' ability to work within a timing offense just as well as Michael Thomas does it with Drew Brees. So now Drew Brees having a pair of options and another veteran option at tight end with Jared Cook, who can also do the same thing. It's just unstoppable. Drew Brees is going to know exactly where to put the ball for 3 to 5 different receivers before they get anywhere. And for the first time in what feels like forever, those receivers, each one viable options, will know where the ball is going to be and how to make their best play on it. And this is going to be great. I really do think that this is going to be great. And I'm very much looking forward to this 2020 season and the addition of Emmanuel Sanders and how it helps to evolve this offense and take it to the next level for Drew Brees. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode here at Locked On Saints. Make sure you come back tomorrow. I have a very, very fun episode. We're going to be joined. I believe this is the first time that this has ever happened on the Locked On Podcast Network. We have a crossover episode, myself and Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. We recorded a very special segment for everybody yesterday that we're premiering tomorrow on both shows. Make sure that you check him out at Nola Jake on Twitter, as well as take a listen over at Locked On Pelicans. And then you'll also hear it here on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about swapping players from each team, who from the Pelicans could contribute on the football field, who from the Saints could contribute on the hardwood. We'll talk about all that and even a little bit of coach talk as well. Very, very fun stuff. Looking forward to that. And of course, we'll have our Facebook Friday, as well as any additional news. We'll look at the wide receiver list that's going to come out from ESPN. Lots to talk about, as well as any big news and notes of the day. I thank you so much, as always, y'all, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust to that nation. I'll holla at you.